Blog Talk Radio.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit out of law barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the egg shakes and saggy. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on.
All right, guys. Good evening. It is April 2nd, 7 o'clock Eastern. This is your host, Chad Ward, and we are kicking off this week's edition of Whiskey Bent in the Pit Barbecue Radio Show, coming to you from the lovely TPC Sawgrass Marriott Resort here in Jacksonville for the real job. Hope you guys are having a great night so far, and I look forward to bringing you a good show. We're loaded to the gills when it comes to guests tonight. We've got Heath Hall from Pork Barrel Barbecue. He's going to check in with us, talk a little bit about that new Jambo, talk a little bit about the restaurant, got a little bit of time under him with the restaurant. Would love to know how that's doing. Got Stan Hayes from Operation Barbecue Relief. If you've been following on Facebook, they had some trailers that they were able to buy with some grant money that they're really starting to come together, look really nice. And then also I met Stan for the first time at the HPB show in Orlando. I had to leave, but I hear on Friday that he got a really good reception from the industry about what Operation Barbecue is doing, so I want to catch up with him on that. Third guest, and somehow I totally just missed it in the show announcement. I tried to do a copy and paste thing, and it obviously didn't work, whatever. But George Hensler from Who Are Those Guys Barbecue Team. I'm going to have George on. This is kind of that time of year. I've been surprised how many folks that are just getting into competition barbecue listen to the show based on some of the feedback I got and this and that. And George has a great book called Starting the Fire, and it's kind of that this time of year where, you know, people that don't live in the great state of Florida or California or places like that, Arizona, everybody else starts, you know, digging their barbecue stuff out and getting ready to compete. So thought it'd be fitting to have George on, catch up with him, see how his winter treated him, see what his plans are this spring and summer as far as contests go, and then talk a little bit about the book. Fourth coming in. I know you're probably saying, Chad, how are you going to get through five guests in one night as long-winded as you can get, but I'm damn sure going to try. Fourth one coming in is Corey Brinson, Fat Backs Barbecue and Rib Shack. They're up in North Carolina. We're going to talk to him, and not North Carolina, Alabama. We're going to talk to him a little bit, see how the restaurant's going. We do know from him calling in a couple weeks ago, he is going to be on Pitmasters. Don't know when they're filming, but you know he's obviously gearing up for that. But the restaurant's been a real success from some of the discussion we've had, so I'd really like to talk to him in a little more detail, see how that's went. And then we're going to close the show. Speaking of restaurants, we're going to have Danny Kugel from Pitbulls Up in Smoke call in. Danny has moved out to or is out in Hawaii right now, kind of doing a Southern-style barbecue restaurant out there, and I just would like to catch up with him, see how the opportunity came up, how's it going out there, how tough is it to find meat compared to, you know, what he's used to cooking over here and all those type of things. So it's going to be a loaded down show tonight. It's going to be a good one. Looking forward to it. But, you know, no real in-depth discussions tonight. Everything's going to move pretty quick just because we don't have a ton of time. One thing I do want to mention to you is I was talking to Dan Hickson the other day, and I want to talk to you about another class that Three Eyes Barbecue is putting on. I'm trying to pull up the information here, but the website is, I believe it's June 1 and 2. Let me see if I can get a better site. I believe it's June 1 and 2 at Fred's, I believe, but I never. Hold on, but we'll plug it a little bit later when I actually got the data in front of me. But 3 hours is having a class. If you get a chance, I'd probably go. Those guys were kind of a big deal last year, and then started off this year, big deal in it again too. So they definitely have something to share with folks. So once those details come up, I'll put them out there to you. For us, this weekend, Easter, hope everybody had a great Easter. You'll see that we on Friday kicked off our new logo design thing. Some pretty cool entries have came in. I think there's three that'll get shortlisted tonight, three designers, and we'll pick the best one. There's definitely a odds-on favorite. I will say it's a pretty big change from our last logo. I mean, this one's really kind of slick, polished. A little more finish to it than our last one, and we don't think it has any cease and desist orders in its future, so that'll be good to know. All right, so you remember last week Darren Cosmos was on, we were breaking down the competition DVD stuff, the four categories that Darren's put out on DVD. Curious to know how many of you guys actually jumped in there and took advantage of that. It was a heck of a deal with the discount that he was offering. So we're giving away a set tonight, and Darian, you know, even sweetened up the pot at the end last week and said, look, send me an email, whoever wins, and I'm also going to ship them $100 worth of product, which is pretty damn cool. So somebody's going to be a big winner tonight. I got the list right here. What you had to do was you had to be a friend of Cosmos Q Rubs and Injections. You had to be a friend of Whiskey Bent Barbecue on Facebook. And you gotta be listening, so you can call in and redeem it. So, first one on the list, you're gonna have 5 minutes. I've got my little Galaxy Note here, about to hit the 5 minute mark. You guys will hear it like me when we hear the alarm. This person's time's gonna be up. First person on the list, William Griffin. William Griffin, the call in number is 347-202-0263. Once again, 347-202-0263. William Griffin, you are the potential winner of the Cosmos Cube DVD set and $100 worth of product. You got 5 minutes, call in. 347-202-0263. All right. Clock's on him. He's got now 4 minutes and 45 seconds. All right. And if he doesn't call in 5 minutes, we'll go down to the next name. And we'll keep going and going and going until we give it away. Real quick, before we go over to Heath Hall, who's going to join us here in a couple of minutes. I want to talk to you about longtime sponsor of the show, The Barbecue, TheBBQSuperstore.com. Rich and Mark over there are doing a great job. Rich will be on the show with us next week, talking about some of the things going on with the store, but also talking about the beak-to-beak contest that they're going to be doing up there in the Great Lakes Barbecue Association sanctioning body. Pretty cool. Looks like some nice prizes up for grabs. You know, one thing we've always laughed about us FBA boys is there's really nothing like that besides the contest. You know, no real – well, I guess we got the Triple Crown, but that's gotten so hokey. I think as long as you have a damn heartbeat, you can get an FBA Triple Crown, so and cook a contest and not trip over yourself. Anyway, I digress, but it's pretty cool. Looking forward to talking to the Great Lakes Barbecue Society and Rich Parker next week to understand what they're doing with that beak-to-beak contest and what it's going to look like for folks. But once again, go over to thebbqsuperstore.com. It's where we get all of our stuff at. You know, carry all the best of things. They've got the Cosmos stuff. They've got Slap Your Daddy. They got BBQ stuff. Just an array of seasonings, injections, brines, whatever you want. They've got it. And really quick with the shipping. I know between Mark and Ridge, usually your order goes in, next day it's packed, and it's out the door. And you can't ask for much more than that. If they think it's not going to get to you and you need it for the weekend, they're going to call you and say, hey, you know, you want to upgrade the shipping? Do you really need it this weekend? Those type of things are always going to be looking out for you, which is real nice to have. So go and check them out, thebbqsuperstore.com. With that being said, let's go over. We do not have William Griffin within the Cosmos yet. He's got 2 minutes and 34 seconds left to call in. If he does not hit that mark, we'll be going on to the next name. But what I'm doing right now is I'm bringing up Heath Hall, Pork Barrel Barbecue. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, boss. How's it going, Chad?
Going real well, man. So how's life been treating you, brother?
I tell you, it's crazy. Moving from D.C. up to Baltimore this week, and you know how fun moving can be. It's amazing how much crap we accumulate over the years.
Absolutely, man. I know exactly what you mean. So, you know, you've had the restaurant under your belt here for a little bit. You know, how's business been? How's things been going?
It's going great. Yeah, we've been up and running now for not quite a year and a half, but we're approaching that. It's hard to believe. Last year, we had the fortune to have Food and Wine magazine name us one of the top new barbecue joints in America. So that was a pretty sweet honor to get from such a highly, you know, recognized food magazine like that. It's, you know, going great. Our revenues in the first year, over 150% of what we exceeded, of what we expected. So, you know, I think people in the D.C. area were looking for some good barbecue. You know, and it's been an interesting couple of years in the restaurant barbecue world here in D.C. We've had some gone from really having nothing here to having some really good options. Our friend Elizabeth Carmel and her crew have brought Hill Country down from New York City, and it's a great place to check out. There's also been like a really big eruption of street trucks, of the food trucks doing barbecue. Some of our friends started a thing called Barbecue Bus, which is great. So it's been a fun time to really be in the middle of the barbecue restaurant scene here in D.C. And then we opened up our second restaurant back in November, a burger joint called Holy Cow Burger, and that's been killing it. I mean, it's been amazing, the response we've gotten on that. And we're about to venture into something completely new here in the next several months. We're opening a sushi restaurant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, a little different than barbecue, but we're going to maybe have some fun with it. We're talking about doing a line of sushi that we're going to call Redneck Sushi and do like a pulled pork roll wrapped in collard greens or something like that.
Oh, crazy. That sounds cool, man. That's pretty exciting. I must have totally bugged out and missed the Holy Cow Burger joint thing. That's cool to hear about also. You know, how has that been? I mean, the burger thing obviously has taken off between the chain stuff with, you know, of course, Five Guys, but then you have, you know, Square One, Burger 21, all those guys are actually doing really well with it. What in D.C., was there not a lot of those, or did you worry at all about going into a crowded market, or what did you think?
One could argue that D.C. is the epicenter of all that. Our place, Holy Cow Burger, is less than a mile from the very first Five Guys. Five Guys originated in Alexandria, Virginia, just down the street from where we're at.
Right.
And there's a whole handful of great places. You know, yet Shake Shack came in from New York City and opened up in D.C. Spike Mendelson from Top Chef. He opened up Good Stuff Eatery in D.C., and now I think I think by the end of the year he's going to have five or six of those going. You've got literally 100 or 155 guys in the area. You have one of the greatest burger joints I've ever been to, a place called Ray's Hell Burger, but they recently closed. BRG Burger Joint. I mean, there's a ton of them here, but you know, what's interesting is finding out the difference between doing a burger joint and a barbecue joint. And I think it shocked us, and it may shock you, that it's actually harder to run a burger joint, I think, than a barbecue place in some aspects, because it's just so fast-paced doing a burger joint. You know, you have 100 people in line, and
your burst capacity on something like that has to be extremely high, from, you know, 11 to 1, 11 to 2, and then, you know, probably extended even on the weekends. Whereas, you know, on the smoker side, as long as you've got, you know, the proper holding equipment, the proper procedures. You know, it's really just getting it sliced or whatever the case, and you know, getting the sides together and getting it on a plate and getting it out. But I could see how that would be hectic.
Our biggest problem with the barbecue joint is just keeping enough food. I mean, it's not uncommon, and this has really been one of our biggest challenges in this area that's not really known for barbecue, is having, you know, a sign up at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, depending on the night, saying, you know, we're out of brisket or we're out of pulled pork, whereas, you know, the folks here have the mentality that, you know, everything's like a steakhouse. You go and you sit down, you order your steak, and 20 minutes later it comes out. Not, you know, you come in and you order a brisket and 20 minutes later it comes out. You know, maybe if you want to hang out for 12, 15 hours, we can get you one. But that's been a challenge. You know, I was just down in Texas picking up our new competition smoker. And, you know, you go to a lot of those great joints down there. You know, Franklin's, you know, everyone hears about Franklin's in Austin, mm-hmm. how if you're not in line, you know, by 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to get any food because they're going to be sold out by 11 or 12 or 12:30. And, you know, kind of getting that mentality into people, hey, it's not a bad thing when you see a sign that says we're out of brisket. What that means is it means we're not cooking like 100 briskets on Monday and freezing them and then thawing them out and warming them up. You know, everything that you're eating today was cooked within the last, you know, 12, 14, 15 hours in that smoker.
No, and that's the right way. I mean, if you always have to hang your hat on quality. And you know, if folks can't understand that, then they're probably not going to be, and without being rude, they're probably not going to be willing to pay the price and appreciate the food as they should at a place like that. You know what I'm saying? So, definitely. Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, you guys and the investors and everybody else, you know, you always hate to see a dollar walk out the door, but the only way to get the other dollars to come back is to make sure quality's at the very top, you know?
It's a balancing act of education and, you know, putting out quality meat. And, you know, the great thing now that we've got the burger joint open, I mean, when our first couple of months, we were selling out, you know, in an hour and a half, 2 hours. And you know, you didn't have anything to say to somebody other than, sorry, we can serve you some, you know, cucumber salad if you like or something like that.
Right.
But now it's great having the burger joint. It's just two doors down. And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, if you're not wanting pulled pork, you know, which is all we've got left, or if you're not wanting brisket, which is all we got left, we've got a, you know, burger option. And then here in another, like I say, couple months, right in the same neighborhood, we're opening the sushi bar. But, you know, it's interesting how different all the restaurants are. You know, the other funny thing is no one comes into the burger joint and complains about how the burger is cooked. Like, you know, you really don't hear, well, that's not how I cook my hamburgers at home. But I tell you what, everybody that walks into a barbecue restaurant, I think, feels like they're the best at making ribs or they're the best at cooking brisket. And, you know, it's for a competition guy like you and I, you know, it's funny some of the things that you hear, you know, because we're trying to cook as close to possible competition-style meats there. You know, it's not 100% possible to do that. We're not obviously using Wagyu briskets and things like that, but you know, the ribs you hear all the time, you know, well, these aren't like chilies, you know, these aren't falling off the bone. So these aren't done and things like that. Or, you know, you get a good smoke ring in there and people are like, yo, oh, this is raw.
Right.
Which is one of the funnier ones. It's like, so somehow we managed to cook the inside of the meat, but not the outside. That's
talented. That's something different. No, it is, and that's one of the things I noticed, that, you know, having been doing a good chunk of backyard classes, when you tell people fall off the bone ribs aren't great ribs, they look at you like you have a third eye, you know, and they're like,
right.
You know, well, what do you mean? But then you walk them through why it's not a good rib and let them understand, and they're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know it's a challenge. Like I say, every guy that walks in there, you know, he's probably got a Weber kettle in his backyard that he fires up once every 2 months, but he's still the you know, he's the best barbecuer that everyone that he cooks for, you know, says he's the best barbecuer. And so, you know, it's so funny. I just don't know if there's any other restaurant style in this country where you maybe get that kind of feedback. I can't imagine when we open the sushi bar, someone's going to be like, that's not how we do our eel rolls or something like that. But I don't know, it's fun. And, you know, we've had to come off of our kind of initial desires a little bit, you know, because in the end, it's about making people happy and what they want. And, you know, the unfortunate reality is most people want a more done rib than you or I would probably want. But, you know, we want to keep them coming back and satisfied. And, you know, the biggest thing to me is not so much the texture, but just getting a good flavor, you know, using a good quality meat, a rub, and, you know, the right amount of smoke, and go from there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, repeat customers, what you gotta go towards. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
One of the things, talking about the burger place real quick, are you guys doing your own grinds every day?
We're not grinding. We've got a special mix that we have being made for us. We're not grinding in-house. For those that have been to our place, you know, we're sharing one kitchen space with all three of the restaurants, the barbecue joint, the burger joint, and then the sushi bar. So space is a limited thing. And we have so much veggie prep going on, especially once the sushi bar opens up.
Yeah.
And insane seafood prep and things like that, that, you know, you look for things that you can get a good quality and still be able to, you know, utilize your limited space and manpower efficiently. Now, we do one thing that we looked and sampled, I don't even know how many French fries, like pre-cut French fries. And
yeah,
there are some pretty high quality products out there, but none of them beat just taking a good old russet potato and cutting it yourself. And so we cut all our fries ourselves. We parboil them and then we fry them twice. And yeah, that's been one of the big hits are the French fries.
No, that, and I completely agree with you, man. I mean, a hand-cut fry, you know, kicks the hell out of any frozen fry any day of the week. And the other nice part about it is, I mean, your food cost is way, way down.
Yeah.
Compared, I mean, even when you strap the labor on it to do it, it's still not that much when you get somebody that's got it figured out.
Yeah, well, you know, they've got great tools now where you can just put the potato in and, I don't know if you've ever been to an In-N-Out Burger and you see that dude back there sticking the potatoes in that, like, machine. It's like a hand crank thing, and we've got one of those things. And, you know, so you can cut a potato in about probably, I don't know, 10% of the time it takes you if you were doing it traditionally with a knife or something.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to hear things are going well. That's exciting. I would take it, since it's shared kitchen space and this and that, You're probably doing all three with the same kind of group of investors and management, kind of management team?
Yeah, so Brett and I partnered with two restaurant guys, Mango Mike Anderson and Bill Blackburn, and they do the day-to-day operations. They've got, you know, 50-plus years of restaurant experience between the two of them, and, you know, so they, you know, are the ones that are managing the staff and all that good stuff, which, frankly, you know, allows Brett and I to do more of the fun things. You know, I don't have to be there ordering, you know, 200 pounds of carrots or anything like that. Then we've got, you know, a group of investors tied into all three of the restaurants. And then we're about, I think, we're looking at venturing out into our second barbecue joint. Not quite ready. It's going to be in the D.C. area, not quite ready to announce location because we're still kind of, looking at a couple places. And we've also been approached by a franchising group about potentially franchising out some locations where, you know, we'd always kind of wanted to get a couple of them under our belt before we really looked at any kind of franchising because, you know, a lot of headaches can happen. I mean, as great as franchising can be, it can be equally as bad. And so I'm not sure we're quite ready to pull the franchising trigger, but it's always kind of cool to know that people are looking at you and interested.
Well, you know, the franchising thing, I mean, there's rarely ever a middle road. either it builds your brand and it's the best business decision you ever made, or it can bastardize your brand and you end up going, man, how the hell did we do this? So I think due diligence and something like that is just epic, and I think you guys are probably on the right track of at least wanting to get, you know, at least this other one and maybe one more under your belt and say, okay, got it, here's how we handle the multi-chain, you know, multi-facility thing, et cetera, and kind of go from there, because, you know, you guys have worked, I think, too hard and too long to take a chance of someone else really kind of, you know, raining on your brand.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, I mean, you get a place in L.A., a place in New York, a place in Dallas, a place in Minnesota, you know, all of a sudden you're all over the country and you can't physically be there as much as you would want to be. And so you really, it's a combination of having to have a system in place that's easy to follow and easy to duplicate, and having people that you believe in and can trust that they're, you know, are going to produce, you know, the kind of food that you want them to produce, so that if someone eats in California, eats in New York, eats in Texas, eats wherever, they're going to get, you know, a 99% identical meal.
No, I completely agree with you. I think that's epic. So that's pretty exciting on the restaurant side, man. Seems like a lot of plates are spinning, but all good things, man. I'm happy for you guys. Let's switch gears over to the product line a little bit. The rubs, the sauces. You know, one, you know, how have those been selling? And two, anything kind of around the corner?
Huge year so far. We've already sold more rub and sauce this year than we sold all of 2012. We're firing on all cylinders. I've spent the first 3 months of the year, I don't even know how many miles I've traveled. I've spent over 30 nights in hotel rooms, I know that much. And been from coast to coast and down to Florida and getting ready to head up to New Hampshire here. So I've covered just about all the country, and it seems to be paying off. Just in the last 7 days, we've picked up roughly 500 to 600 new stores. We'll be going, making really our first big push into California, other than we've been in some Save Mart stores out there, but looks like Albertsons in Southern California is picking us up. And we just shipped out several full truckloads, lots of pallets of both our original sauce and rub to the San Francisco Bay Area Costco's.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge get for us. On the East Coast, we're picking up you know, this is going to be confusing because they're all going to have the name Giant in them, but they're three completely different entities.
Yep.
Giant Eagle, which is kind of the it's Pennsylvania, Ohio region. Then there's Giant, which has there's two different stores, but they're both called Giant. One's called Giant Landover and one's Giant Carlisle. We're picking up about 350, 400 stores between those two. I think here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be able to announce a big store in the middle of the country that's picking us up, which will add another 100, 150 stores to us. And actually, just before I got on the air, I think I've locked us in with a potential deal with one of the big sporting goods stores in the country. So we're off to a really fast start this year. But, you know, it's a tough, tough business once you try to really go mainstream. You know, as much as we like seeing competition barbecue teams and barbecue aficionados using our sauce and rub, you know, we really made the distinct decision to not focus our efforts on, you know, catering really towards the specialty barbecue, you know, user, the competition user, or the you know, just the person that has 50 bottles of barbecue sauce in their refrigerator. We're really looking to compete with the mainstream guys like the Sweet Baby Ray's, the Stubbs, the Crafts, the Casey Masterpiece, which is tough because, you know, those sauces are $2-3 a bottle cheaper than ours on the shelf. They've got a huge market share already. They are capitalized much greater than we are. You know, I mean, Casey Masterpiece is owned by a multi-billion-dollar corporation, Clorox. Sweet Baby Ray's is owned by Ken Salad Dressing, which is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollar corporation. And so it's a challenge. You know, a lot of things you really have no idea when you go into this business, just how expensive it is. You know, to get into a lot of stores, you got the first case is free. You know, they want specials, they want this and that. And so we've tried to really put ourselves in a position, you know, for a couple of years now to really try to get our foot in the door and increase our store count, you know, which also helps. The more stores you're in, then all of a sudden, you know, if there's three main grocery stores in the city and two of them have your sauce and one doesn't,
yep,
it's a lot easier to go to that store and say, hey, you know, we're in all your competitors, or folks start asking for it. And, you know, I think we'll probably, by the time the real barbecue season starts, you know, Memorial Day weekend, you know, we'll probably have our products in about 3,000 stores pretty much nationwide now. We have had our first fairly sizable shipment go over to the UK in March. We are really pushing an expansion up into Canada and looking at a couple other foreign countries. But trying to grow smart, you know, the more countries you're in, the more expensive it is, because you have to have more labels and more, you know, you can't just wait for an order. You got to have inventory. And so, you know, if you have three or four different labels of inventory for a product sitting there, it's expensive. So, you know, we're trying to grow in a controlled manner, but it seems like we're really having a good year so far. And if we keep at the pace that we're at, we really haven't gotten to the high barbecue season yet, so hopefully we'll exceed the pace we're at. You know, I think by the end of the year we could quadruple our dollar total in sales from last year.
That's absolutely amazing, man, and I think it's a testament to not only the product but the hard work you guys have been putting in. That is absolutely outstanding. Real quick, before I let you go and get over to staying at OBR, tell me a little bit about that new Jambo, man. You love it?
Well, I haven't had much time to cook on it yet. I picked it up the first week of March, and within 36 hours, I drove it from Jamie's shop in Burleson, Texas, to Mobile, Alabama, and hadn't fired it up or anything and cooked a contest on it. Mediocre results. I finished 11th in chicken, which is my high for the contest, 56 teams, I think. My ribs tanked. I apparently didn't have the nose of the Jambo at the right angle. I spoke with our good buddy Rod Gray, who's just about as good on the Jambo as anybody, and he was gave me some after contest pointers on that. So we're still learning it. Because I've been gone so much traveling, selling sauce and rub, and I'm moving, I've only been able to fire it up one more time since that contest. And we cook our next contest in 2 weekends at Pork in the Park in Salisbury, Maryland, which starts really our big push. We got three in a row, or maybe four in a row. And so I think, you know, the first month or two is going to be a little fire by error, because we probably haven't been able to do as much practicing and learning on it as we should. But I'll tell you, the thing is, it's I don't know, I'm completely biased since it's our smoker, but it's just about as pretty of a smoker as I've ever seen, and it is a magnet. I picked that thing up and went to a gas station to fill my truck up about, I don't know, 10 minutes after I picked it up, and I had this, like, 75-year-old lady come out of her car to take photos of it to send to her grandkid. Later that afternoon, I was at a rest stop, letting my dog out to walk, and it was supposed to be a 10-minute stop for my dog to stretch his legs. It ended up being a 40-minute stop, because at least 10 truckers came over as they were heading back or getting out of their trucks and wanted to look at it and take photos of it. And the biggest challenge at the contest in Mobile, I cooked it by myself, Brett wasn't able to come, and you know, you've been there where, you know, you're right in the heat of battle and someone wants to walk over and talk to you.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, pulling a pork butt, slicing the brisket, cutting ribs. And I had just that entire 2 hour period because, you know, people were, well, I was pretty close to the barbecue pit masters. They were filming. I was pretty close to their setup. And so I had, you know, dozens and dozens of people coming. So it's an attractor. I think once we get a handle on it, it's going to, you know, cook like a gym. And, you know, Jamie makes such a great product. I mean, it cooks awesome and it looks awesome. And we're really excited to get out this year. Probably do about 15 to 20 contests all over the place. Like I say, the next, I guess, in 2 weeks, we'll be Pork in the Park in Salisbury, Maryland. Then we'll head down to North Carolina, to Lexington, North Carolina, and do the Barbecue Capital Cook-Off. Then we're back up in the D.C. area in Annapolis to do barbecue. I know we're heading up, I think we're heading up to Rochester, New York for Rock City Rib Fest. And a whole bunch of other things. So come out, you know, if you're out of the contest, come out and see us. Looking forward to cooking on that thing and showing it off this year.
That's killer, man. That is awesome. So great things going on at Pork Barrel Barbecue. Heath, always appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon, my friend. Best wishes.
You bet, buddy. Good luck to you on the trail down there in Florida. Hopefully we run into each other, and you know, check us out at porkbarrelbbq.com or follow us on Twitter, /porkbarrelbbq.
Excellent, brother. Take care. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Chad. Have a good one, buddy.
All right, man. We'll do. All right, guys. Heath Hall, Pork Barrel Barbecue. Always a great interview. Man, that's a busy dude. He has a lot of stuff going on, but a lot of good stuff. And that's great to hear. Excited for those guys over there. Well-deserved and just good folks when it comes to barbecue people. You know, that's the kind of people we want leading the industry and putting their name out there and showing folks what competition barbecuers are all about. We are now going to go to the second name in the Cosmos test, or in the contest. William Griffin missed out. He was our first name. Second name is going to be, drumroll please, Neil Buckwalter. Neil Buckwalter, you have now 5 minutes. Let me get the trusty five-minute clock going. Neil Buckwalter will be on the clock now, 4 minutes, 55 seconds, to call in and claim the four-category Cosmos Q set and the $100 worth of free product Darian's throwing out there, too. All right. We are already running 10 minutes late, so let's go over to Stan. Stan, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, Chad. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing real well. How's life been, man? I finally got to meet you at the HPB, which I'd like to talk about a little bit.
Sure.
And see how that went for you. And I know you guys had some pretty gracious folks to bring you out there and get you some time to tell the story to the industry. And just, you know, how was all that received?
You know, it was received very well. I had no idea really what to think, and just getting in with the National Barbecue Association over the last, you know, little over a year, we thought when we got the invitation to go out to this, we thought, well, you know, it's a pretty good tie, and the Hearth and Home magazine had done some articles on us after Hurricane Sandy, or because one of their own people, one of their writers, was actually affected and was at the brick location and saw Rob Marion and crew in action. So they were gracious enough to invite us out there and give us time during the industry award night, and got up there and told the story and got a little emotional and you know, talking about it and seeing some of the old pictures of Joplin and some of what we did, and it my understanding is there was a lot of people grabbing a handkerchief after hearing the story and how we really you know, it's really about barbecue giving back and becoming part of the what we call the barbecue family. So
that's awesome, man. And so you know, obviously, after the presentation's over, do you have a lot of the brand owners kind of pull you aside and talk about maybe being able to help you guys out some?
I had a lot of conversations. I got to talk with a lot of the marketing folks, the people that if I tried to call today to Weber, I would never have gotten to, or Big Green Egg, or Sabre, or any of these major companies that are out there. And I even had some hearth people coming up to me afterwards saying, hey, we don't do grills, but I know it's cold out there sometimes. Maybe we can hook you up with some heaters and some things like that. So the big thing is that we're working with the overall association. In fact, I had a conversation today with Jack Goldman, who's the CEO of the Hearth Patio and Barbecue Association, about becoming a sort of one of their charities, sort of helping spotlight us, because they really don't have a charity of choice. And so hopefully between that and the MBBQA doing the same thing, we'll start getting the name out there a little bit more, start getting some more recognition from these larger companies, and hopefully that turns into the donations.
That's absolutely incredible, man. It's amazing how far you guys have came, and really for a 501(c)(3), in a relatively short amount of time. And I think it speaks a lot to the way you guys have organized it, but I think it also speaks a lot to just the barbecue community in general. I think it's great to see the mouths that you guys have fed, when people are at probably some of the lowest points of their life.
I keep telling people, they ask me, at the Hearth Patio show and everything, people were asking me, why do you do it? And I do it just to help people, barbecue has been doing it for so long, whether it's barbecue restaurants, caterers, backyard guys, going out and helping people, with their talent, go feed somebody. And, it's one of those things that it's really, all we did was try to organize it, try to get everybody together, to be able to have a concerted effort when a disaster strikes.
Absolutely. No. And I mean, and that's kind of what you need you guys have such a template now, of things that need to be done and, how things triage and this and that, that I think it's definitely key, to those folks. To be able to really, when they get on site, not to be chasing their tail. They've already got it covered and know exactly what they're doing, can get to cooking and serving folks. Kind of speaking of that ability to be able to spring into action quickly, talk a little bit about how the trailers are coming along, how you guys acquired those, and kind of what you're doing to the inside of them to get them ready.
Sure. Well, first. The trailers, I've been working for quite some time on the company I work for, which is Farmers Insurance, to get to the right people, for this grant. I had been talking, and finally I got to the right people and put it together. And they said, maybe they'll do one. And it grew from the lady I was working with, saying, well, maybe we should shoot for about 15,000, to me saying, hey, I'm going to shoot for 30, because by the time I get done customizing these the way I want them, I'll be well over that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So went in. So, the good thing about, their grant app processes, I get to sit in there, and they have anybody on that grant team ask me the questions, why should we give you money. And I had my executive sponsor with Farmers in there with me, or on the call with me, and literally they went through the application, talked about it, saw pictures of what we did in Joplin sitting right next to the Farmers rigs and everything, and really didn't even have to answer any questions. It was, we like this, we think it fits in with, what we do, and the side of helping people. And, the best part is that one of the executives said, well, I'm assuming you're going to be coming back next year for another grant, and I was like, hey, that's good to hear. So Then we went on the hunt of where we were going to get these trailers, and unfortunately, as much as I would have loved to had like a Featherlight or something, you know, I couldn't afford that kind of a trailer for what we wanted. And so we used a company out of Georgia that I won't name, but I'll never recommend them. You know, just because they have, you know, we have some ongoing issues, like a door that was placed a foot in the wrong place, making us having to redo the inside of it. A bathroom that we made big for big barbecue guys like you and me and everything turned out great on part of it, but then the shower, you know, you would have a tough time, my friend. You could get a quarter, you know, quarter at a time maybe. And I gave them a spec drawing that was, you know, down to the, you know, basically every measurement on it. And they accepted it and went down with those expectations that I set, and they came back with this little tiny shower instead of a, you know, a 42-inch shower that ran across the whole wall. They came out with a little quarter shower in the corner. They came in 10 inches off on the door. And then trying to get the powers that be to call me back, they finally did, and they said, okay, get me some information. Like, why would I want an electric water heater? I'm going out there. Why would I want an electric water heater? I told them no. They said they don't. Well, they don't have anybody bonded to do it. Then don't put it in there. Don't charge me for it. But put in, if you're going to put one in, put in a dual purpose, electric, gas.
Yeah.
So if I'm at a place that I've got good electricity, fine. But if not, I can do the. Well, long story short, that didn't happen either. So I think they were coming down to the deadline that I gave them for the trailer so I could have it at the National Barbecue Association conference and pick it up and bring it back. And it just, it was sloppy. And so we've asked for money back. Sent that email on Monday, Tuesday last week, and as of today, still have not heard back from them. So the gracious legal counsel that we have in Kansas City that donates their time is putting together a little letter on our behalf now. So,
well, that's just, I mean, you hate for it to get to that. I mean, that's just absolutely horrible. It shouldn't operate like that. You would think folks would just do a better job of handling their business, but, obviously these folks don't have that ability. So, obviously I hope it'll all get worked out and, obviously deserve some of the money back, but at the end of the day, you were willing to pay the money. You just wanted what you asked for, you know? I mean,
exactly. Yeah. I would have even paid more. If they would have came back and said, hey, the shower that we normally put in there is this, you're gonna have to pay. I mean, I upgraded the tanks, so I didn't have a 20 and 30-gallon water tank, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We went to 40 and 55-gallon tanks. I gladly paid for it. So that was – you're absolutely right. That wasn't that – so, but moving past that, we've got things to the point that this weekend on Friday at the little contest that I put on out here, Jeff Stith and I have been, this will be our sixth year of putting this on here. It benefits OBR. We are going to have the trailers out there. We're going to do a stock the trailer night. We put on Facebook and on our event page and everything, the top 10 items. Go and bring out. And then we've also got a Amazon wish list that has those top 10 items and then about 30 other items that we need for trailers. That,
oh, very cool.
That's a virtual, you know, anybody that's on the call tonight, they wanted to go out, they can go to our Facebook page, which is Facebook/OperationBBQRelief, or Operation BBQ Relief, and they can scroll down and find that wish list. But they can go in there, they can buy pans, they can go buy clamshells, they can buy those things that we use every day out there. They can also buy some of the essentials that we still need for the trailers that we haven't got. Each trailer The first one's a 28-footer with the bathroom, and as I've been talking about. It's got two bunk beds. They fold up against the wall about 6 inches, 7 inches out from the wall, so we can make that into a little command center up front. And then it's got a 10-foot garage in back. So we can haul tents, Cambros, all the different things that we need, food, fuel, in the garage, and still be able to put up the bunks if needed. We've done the floors to them. We've done the bunks to them. Basically, when we bought these from the company, we had them insulated, and in the 28-footer, the insulation's in every place except for the bays that have the electrical outlets they decided not to insulate. That's another little sticking point. But the cool thing is, you know, now we have a command center. We have enough capacity to probably haul between 48 to 72 hours worth of food and supplies into an area based on the, you know, based on the average size disaster. And then the second trailer is a 16-foot V-nose that could be pulled with a half-ton trailer, a half-ton truck. The trailer's not that big. But, you know, they both have the 7-foot interior height for the taller guys. And it's decked out with two more bunk beds. So you can sleep in there. We will, you know, and the ability to haul, at least 72 hours worth of food in that. That'll be sort of our workhorse trailer. The 28-footer just got out of the shop the other day with all the decals and everything put on. You know, unfortunately, one of them wasn't high enough resolution. We've got a deal now with Old Hickory Pits. They will be the official pit of OBR, and we will be using a Old Hickory EL-EDX on a trailer, at least for the next couple years.
That's awesome.
With this deal. So we now got a high-capacity smoker. We've got the ability to haul, and the next step is we've got a couple things in the works, hopefully on some trucks. So
very cool.
Got a company we're working with, not public yet on who it is, but a well-known barbecue franchise company out there that we're talking to about co-branding one of the trucks, and then we're probably going to start a capital campaign here pretty soon to start raising the money for another 3/4-ton diesel truck to pull the other trailer.
That is killer, man. A lot of exciting stuff going on, Stan. That is great to hear. One of the things I want to kind of drive the listeners over to is on your actual website, which is OperationBBQRelief.org, and that Grand Champions Club. That seems like a great thing to be a part of.
It is. You know, when we started the organization, we started with the Founders Club, and the Founders Club was cut off at 100 people, and we hit that 100-person mark during Hurricane Sandy. But that club was just set up for, in the first months, for us to get some operating capital.
Yep.
Well, there's been such a big response for it, but I wouldn't let them extend the Founders Club. I said, no, we said it's the first 100. We're going to close that, and those people will forever be enshrined as the first 100 people that really helped us get off the ground. But hence the Grand Champion Club. You know, the Grand Champion Club came because we saw a need at many different levels, up even to the corporate level. You know, I've been talking to some of the corporate folks out there now saying, hey, you know, you can't commit. Well, here's one of the things that you can do. And, you got David Haskett on here, you know, Pig in a Pokey Barbecue talking about it. But I do want to recognize him because he is the first Grand Champion club member that purchased one as a barbecue team. And so, you know, there's there's not going to be a cap on this one, on how many barbecue teams, how many individuals, how many corporates. You know, it's really about just another way to give to the organization.
That's awesome, man. I think everybody should go over there and check it out. You know, individual is going to cost you $150 a year, but for a team, you're going to look at around $300. You're going to get the co-branded banner, all that stuff, and then if you're a sanctioning body or a corporation, there's a $600 and a $1,200 level there, which is pretty cool. So I think that sounds like a great club, and definitely recommend folks to go over there. And I'll tell you, you'll probably see something come in from me here in the next day or two on that. I think it's a great cause and a worthwhile investment. So you guys check that out.
Well, Sam, greatly brother, appreciate that.
I could do this all night, man, but I think the three guys behind us would hit.
hey, I appreciate you having me on the show. And, besides going over there and looking at that, also go over, everybody needs to go over and register as a volunteer, or at least to get our email blasts on our website, so they can keep in touch and know what's going on.
That sounds great. I completely agree with you, man. So, Stan, thanks for all the hard work, man. If you ever need anything and you need to get it out to the folks, just drop me a line and we'll get you here on the show and get it out.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chad. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Sounds great. Thanks, Stan. All right, guys. That was Stan Hayes, OperationBarbecueRelief.org. Great guy. Good having him on the show. Really enjoyed it. Can't wait to have him back on again. Well done. So we, Neil, the second guy for the Cosmos package, did not call in either. His 5 minutes is up. So we're going to go now to our third person on the list, which is Delana Crow from Wichita Falls, Texas, I believe. Delana Crow, you now have 5 minutes to call into the show. Number is 347-202-0263. And we will give you 5 minutes and a shot at winning the $100 worth of product and Cosmos Q all four category DVD collection. All right, George Hensler, coming up. Who is this guy, man? What's up, George?
Hey, Chad, how's it going, buddy?
Good, brother. Good to catch up with you, man. Has the cabin fever set in, man? You ready to cook some barbecue?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, been cooking a lot during the winter. But, yeah, I'm ready to get the contest going. We're going to hit Pork in the Park here this month, and we're really looking forward to getting things started again.
Excellent, man. That is great. I'm glad to hear it. Do you see at this time of year, do you see folks do you see the pickup on the sales of the books, like maybe some of these newer teams that are looking, for kind of what you have outlined there and starting the fire?
Yes, I do. Of course, a lot of my sales go through Amazon, but I do pick up sales on my website, and I always see in early spring an increase in the amount of sales and interest in it, and there's a way to track my sales on Amazon, and I also see sales going out there as well. And in addition to there seems to be a couple of upticks around the holidays, which I suppose people may be using for gifts and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's funny how the certain times of the year that those kind of things are noticeable. And interestingly enough, the book's been out now for 3 years, and it's still plugging along, still selling. So I get notes from time to time from people thanking me and saying that, it helped them here, they like this, they like that, and that kind of thing. And that's really what, makes it all worthwhile for me, is just knowing that that it was a help to somebody and maybe helped them, with the learning curve a little bit.
That's killer, man. I'll hold 1 second, George. I think actually our person that may be on right now. Hold on a sec. This wouldn't happen to be Delane, would it?
Yes, it would.
How's it going?
Very good. Very real good today.
Well, congratulations. Do me a favor. Send your shipping details to me at at whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com.
whiskeybentbbq@gmail.com.
Yeah,
well,
go ahead and do that. I'll get that over to Darian, and you'll be enjoying the heck out of that competition DVD. I can promise you that.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. See, you snooze, you lose. Delane Crow taking it down. Good job there. So one thing I can tell you about the book is I had one of the places where I teach kind of backyard classes, they own a grill store, and Doug and his wife Heather, and Doug wants to go out and cook a competition here in October, and so one of the guys that works in the store is like, man, do you have a checklist or this or that, you know, that we can use to get this started? I said, look, man, just go to Amazon, type in starting the fire, and just pick that thing up. I was like, I can't remember what it is, if it's $15, $20, $12.95. I said, but it's worth whatever the price is. I said, because, you know, and you know, 3 weeks later, he calls me and goes, man, you were right, man. He's like, it's an easy read. He's like, it was kind of cool to sit down with. And, you know, he's like, it's all laid out right there. I was like, yep.
Yeah, that's kind of like the same reaction that I get, you know, from folks come up to me at a contest that maybe have read it or shoot me an email or something like that. And, you know, it's for me, you know, an amateur writer, so to speak, it's that's what it's all about is you know, the interaction with the people and knowing that that somebody's reading your stuff. Because when you're sitting at home writing something, you don't get a reaction. It's not like a radio show where you can have people call in or automatically send you a note or something like that. It's everything is on delay. If I write an article, it might not be published till next month. And
right.
It's just it's cool when people, you know, contact you and let you know that they have enjoyed looking at what you made.
And you know, I've been catching up on your articles lately. I you know, sometimes it happens to me. I'll end up stacking up three or four bull sheets and, you know, National Barbecue News, and then, you know, I'll hit a wave of travel where I kind of get all caught up on them. And you've had some great articles lately. What are the publications you're currently writing for now, George?
You just named them. I write a monthly column. Actually, it's the same column now. It used to be I was writing a different column for each paper, but we kind of combined them about a year or so ago. Rub Bagby made the suggestion to me as I was whining to him how I was running out of time trying to cobble up two articles each month, and he said, "Hey, why don't you just do one article, you know, for each paper?" So I checked with the papers; they were cool with it, and it's helped me out a lot. I enjoy writing them, but of course, writing for me is a part-time venture. I work full-time, and you know, we have the contest circuit, and of course, family obligations and that kind of thing. So the days do tend to get a little short when you're trying to squeeze things in. But so I write for the Bull Sheet, the Kansas City Bull Sheet, and the National Barbecue News on a monthly basis. And then from time to time, I may get a note from a website or somebody where they'd like me to write something up. For my regular writings, those are the two regular publications that I contribute to.
That's cool. And so, I mean, we can technically say now, I mean, you're in syndication. I mean, George Hensler's syndicated articles.
Well, I've never quite thought of it that way, but I guess we could say that.
Hey, man, dude, hey, I'm a marketer by nature, George.
There we go.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
So no, I mean, that's great. You know, and like I said, I always enjoy the articles. You know, and you talked on the show a couple times about your love for writing. And then kind of last time you were on the show, you teased a little bit about maybe a second book. Is there any
yes? My second book is I'm just about through with it. It's in the editing process. It'll be I'm not quite sure when it'll be through the process, but it's being worked on. Of course, it goes without saying that anything that I hand in needs quite a bit of editing. So I'm sure the editors are working full time, overtime on trying to have it make sense. But yes, it's been a fun project. It was, kind of started out as a barbecue trivia book, and it kind of developed into a little bit of history, a little bit of trivia, some fun facts. There's a lot of funny stuff, a lot of good information. I think it'll be an interesting read for folks involved in barbecue. They don't necessarily have to be involved in the competition end of barbecue. It kind of covers everything from, you know, the backyard to the contest and so forth. And I think once it gets out there, people are going to enjoy reading it. It should be a fun read for them.
You know, and so, you know, without giving it all up, so, I mean, is it you know, I mean, obviously you're going to have some detail in there that helps the teams out. Is there, you know, one of the things I think you know, the one contest that we've hung around each other is I think you're a pretty awesome storyteller. Is there a little bit of that, you know, in the book?
There's a lot of storytelling in the book. Not so much on the competition end, however. It's mostly dealing with you know, barbecue, its history, its beginnings, a lot of what brought it forward, and those kind of things. It just a lot of, you know, I guess you would call it little known fact kind of thing.
And right, sure.
You know, hey, did you know this, that, and the other? And again, it's not something that you're going to pick up, and it's going to be a, you know, some type of a heavy read. But there's just a lot of fun things, and I had a ball researching it, trying to look for things that made me stop and say, hey, I didn't know that, or that's neat to know, that kind of thing. And it's tons of that kind of stuff. I there's a chapter in there on competition. You know, I list as much research as I could do on all the past like Jack winners, the Royal winners, the Memphis and May winners, that kind of thing, because there's just nowhere where anything of that's all combined to be able to look back on the kind of history. So again, it's a history, it's a fun facts, it's just a ton of real good information, I think. It'll be interesting, you know, when it gets out.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like you got a blast doing it, which is super, super cool. You know, and I'll tell you what, man, that thing could end up being one hell of a seller around Father's Day and Christmas. Because I just think, I mean, that would be, you know, most men out there, unless they went to the dark side and they're vegan or vegetarians, you know, most people, you know, think that's, you know, interesting stuff and would love to know more about it, you know?
And it's interesting. I have a chapter intro in there about, and if you go to a party, you know, where are all the guys? Well, they're all around the grill, and you know, the women are over here, but you can always find the guys around the cooler and the grill. And it's just that's kind of what binds, even in the contest setting. I mean, certainly we're there to compete, we're there to win, where everybody's there to have a good time. But the Friday nights, you know, standing around somebody's cooker while smoke's rolling and chit-chatting with your buddies and or making friends and that kind of thing, to me, that's kind of it's just a lot about that as far as I'm concerned.
No. I completely agree with you. Completely agree with you. It's, you know, it's what got us all addicted to this crazy thing we call barbecue, you know? you know, the fellowship and, you know, still has that competitive instinct to it, even though
sure.
It's not like that, you know, not like that hard foul type competition, but you know, that type of thing. So, you know, you guys are going to get kicked off here at Pork in the Park. You know, how's the test cooking been going over the winter? Are you rolling out any you know, wholesale change, new programs at Pork in the Park, or just
for me? No, I've just been tweaking some. I was really kind of satisfied with my stuff towards the end and middle to end of last year. I mean, I wasn't knocking anything out of the park on a regular basis, but I'm going in the right direction, and I've been kind of happy with the way things have been turning out. So I've been working on some small tweaks and some little subtle changes, I'll say, but nothing, no throwing the baby out and that kind of stuff. But you know, just like with anything, I like to move slow when I do make a change, just so that I can see what it does and how it reacts with the judges. I don't like to make anything drastic, let's say.
I mean, I've always told people, unless it's really just not performing well, you always want to make measurable changes, because you want to understand what was the, you know, was it this that was the impact, or was it that?
Yes, exactly.
On the sauce and rub guy, are you a you buy commercial? Do you make your own? A little bit of both.
Yeah,
Of
course, I'm a big Three Eyes guy. That yep. goes without saying. I like the Three Eyes product on all my pork, products. But other than using that right out of the bag, everything else I use, I'll kind of buy in and then doctor. You know, make some.
Yep. Yep.
I got some formulas that I use, and I typically, hopefully, if everything is going according to plan, I like to get those things done. You know, the week preceding the contest, so that I don't have to fool around at the contest, you know, putting anything together. But yeah, it's a combination from commercial available products, and then you know, some different things that I add to.
Well, I will definitely say you're one of the more organized barbecue cooks I've ever seen. You know, that year you helped us out in that miserable weather at Pork in the Park. Anything I asked for, you knew exactly where it was. I mean, it was you could definitely tell that you like the organization and neatness for sure.
Yeah, and I'm probably one of those guys too that brings along a little bit more than what I need, but inevitably there's even though I know exactly what I need to have, something will always come up that, hey, do I have this, do I have that, and a lot of times that I'm able to have it for myself. And two, if somebody else comes along and they've forgotten something, it's always good to be able to chip in and help out.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Yep.
Well, I definitely appreciate the time, George. You got to let me know when the book's ready.
Yes, I will.
We'll have to have you back on the show. You know, maybe I can even get a signed advance copy.
Yep.
To go through, and then we'll have you on the show, man. We'll break that thing down. But I'm excited for you. I think it's going to be a home run, man. I mean, I always enjoy reading your writing. You know, and it seems like you just really were passionate and really got into the subject matter on this one. So we're going to wish you best of luck on that. And, man, I hope Pork on the Park is a beautiful weekend. Tell that lovely event organizer, her name's escaping me right now, but give her a kiss on the cheek and tell her I miss her.
Yep, and I want to thank you for having me on, and I appreciate the kind words about the book, and I will keep you posted when the new one comes out. And we'll go from there, and we'll keep our fingers crossed down there at the Pork in the Park. And whenever you're ready to come this way again in April, you're always welcome to cook alongside us, buddy.
Excellent, brother. I look forward to it. We've got to make that happen. Thanks,
yep.
George. Have a
right
good
out. You too.
All right. All right, guys. George Hensler, Who Are Those Guys? Barbecue team, author, and really at the end of the day, just all around hell of a nice guy. Always good to have George on and catch up with him. You know, consider him a dear friend. I've known George for numerous years. We used to do Huck's Hut radio show together, and I've got to give you the shirt off his back. Just a real genuine guy and an example of what the barbecue community is all about. So, George, thanks for taking the time, buddy. Good having you on the show. With that being said, I've got a couple 910 numbers, which I know is Corey. Real quick, before we go over to him, I do want to, now that we have the information, the Three Eyes class we were talking about, I was totally off base with everything. June 8th and 9th, it's a Saturday, Sunday, going to be at the Barbecue Guru headquarters in Warminster, Pennsylvania. $650. It's going to include breakfast, dinner, and a T-shirt. Send your applications in to dan@threeeyesbbq.com. What's going to be covered in the class? Pretty much everything. Meat selection, trimming, injections, marinades, rubs, cooking temps, meat finish temps, sauces, box building, and there's going to be some feedback from master judges. That's something that a lot more of the guys have been adding to their classes, and I feel like it's smart. I know when Jimmy Bro did his class last year, he had Marty Hyde and some of those folks come in. I know the Swamp Boys and Three Eyes merged class down here in Florida. They did the same thing, and it looks like Dan was really happy with that and is going ahead and going to be able to do it up there in Warminster, Pennsylvania, June 8th, June 9th. You know, I don't have to sell you on Three Eyes, man. The guys probably had one of the more dominant years in KCBS last year and maybe in the history of the organization, the sanctioning body. You know, just really dominated on their way to Team of the Year. You know, when ribs at the Jack last year, another one of those teams that auto-qualified with 7 wins. Just a lot of good things. And if you've ever hung around with Dan and the guys, it's always a good time. So June 8th and 9th. $650, well worth it. You know, that's what it's going to cost you. It's a little bit less than what it's going to cost you to cook a contest all in. And you go out there, and I've always said it before, if you go to the right class and you have a good cook right afterwards, you'll walk away with making that money back after the first couple of categories, hopefully. So check that out. Go over to threeeyesbbq.com if you want to check out the flyer for yourself. And that is 3EYZBBQ.com. All right, let's get over there to my good buddy Corey Brinson. Corey, is this you?
This is me, Chad. What's up, brother?
Well, I was wondering, man. I got like 3 9 10 numbers. I ain't never had this many callers from your area, brother.
Are they all calling in, man, just because it's me?
I guess so, man. I mean,
yeah,
saying,
right. Yeah.
How's life been treating you? We talked to you briefly, you know, when you gave us the news about being on this season of Pitmasters. We'll talk more about that in a second. But I want to talk to you about the restaurant, man. Give me some details. Kind of bring us through when you guys opened it up, what the experience has been like, all that fun stuff, brother.
Chad, man, we opened up around October 3rd, and it's just been crazy. You know, there's still people coming in every day, and the show aired a year ago, and they're showing the reruns. But there was a guy come in today from Texas, said he's seen us on TV, and he wanted to try it out. And it's just been pretty much a wild ride, man, since the show.
Well, yeah, and that's super cool. I mean, it's always nice to have that. People just feel like they got that connection with you, you know, when they see you on TV and they get to, you know, feel like they know you a little bit. And plus, you know, being in the finale, you know, being able to be on two episodes that season and being so close to winning it, you know, a lot of people, I think, just empathized with you and, you know, and really got to know you a little bit there. So I think that's super cool.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you say it's been busy. I know you guys have messed around with a couple new menu items. I've seen some pretty delicious-looking wings and burgers and stuff like that. You know, it seems like you're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, our kitchen, man, is small, and we try different things. You know, we try to put them out as a special each week just to throw something different out there, pretty much just to give me something to eat that I don't get tired of. So I'm already sick and tired of them burgers, so now I'm trying to find something else to figure out what we can cook so I can have to eat in there.
Man, let me tell you something I did the other day. Something that I made the other day that I just loved was, you like chorizo? Have you ever had chorizo?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I did a 50-50 market ground and chorizo burger. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Dude, and then topped it with a little bit of Munster cheese to kind of give that deeper flavor. It was absolutely incredible. But I found, man, I love chorizo. I take a lot of things that are kind of standard recipes, and I'll either half and half it with chorizo or actually just replace the ground beef with the chorizo, and I love it to death, man. So just that nice spicy flavor.
Yeah, we actually did a Munster burger, man, for about a week. We did a burger, and it was topped with Munster cheese, and then we did some, we put Thousand Island dressing on it, and it was pretty good. It didn't sell that good because I think they were just sort of afraid of it because they don't have that sort of stuff around here. So they were jumping all over that brisket burger because they felt like they sort of knew what that was. So they've been tearing that brisket burger up.
Do you find that's what you get your most compliments on barbecue-wise is brisket or is it ribs?
You know, Chad, our biggest seller is the ribs. Probably my biggest compliment that I get in my restaurant as far as my Facebook and stuff is my brisket, you know, and I'm not no special brisket cook or whatever. We just take our time with it, and I tell you what I do a little bit different than most restaurants, and it's only because we have a smaller menu is we'll cook our brisket overnight, and then when we'll pull it off of our smoker, we'll actually bag it and drop it in an ice bath and cool it down real fast, and then we'll slice it while it's cold, and then we'll heat it up back on the char grill. So it actually the slices are actually it almost gives it like a just like a steak flavor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally different, but you know we can do stuff like that because we don't have 42 different meats and all that crazy stuff. You know, we're just a small restaurant that just cooks fresh, and you know, we can take our time with stuff like that. So it's different, and it's something that you don't get every day. So it's pretty good.
No, that's really cool. How's that big smoker working out for you?
It's doing good, man. We, you know, when I first opened, we had the big smoker inside, and we had my big shack outside going wide open, and, you know, it slowed down in the restaurant world a little bit over the winter, and then it's starting to pick up. So we're getting to the point now that we're going to have to start cooking on the shack that's parked right outside. So we just got that sort of in reserve because we just can't that smoker won't hold enough meat for us cooking fresh like that.
Really? So I mean, you're gonna be running double duty on the cookers, huh?
Right. Yeah, man. We gotta keep it going because if not, we'll just run out of food early in the afternoon, and man, people get mad because they'll drive all the way there and we don't have no food. And I just want to make sure they have it at least up to about 8 o'clock.
Yeah. No. Sure. And that's kind of a fine line, but once you got a handle on your sales, you can make that happen without an issue at all.
Right.
So, have you guys been doing much with the? You guys been doing much catering out of the restaurant?
Chad, my catering has always been real busy. I'm do a lot of catering on Fort Bragg, but it seems like it's picked up. You know, we've got a lot of smaller catering jobs coming through the restaurant now that 20 or 30 people that they'll come up and get food like that. And then I pretty much handle the bigger jobs through the, with the shack and all that. So, but man, they might call up from Fort Bragg and say, I need you to feed 500 people next week. And we'll just jump on it. But it's just being right here close to Fort Bragg and as much military catering that I've done, I just stay busy with that pretty much.
Well, that's just good recurring business, and the good thing about it being military is, you know, you go get paid, brother.
yeah, they call me, man. The military's got a lot of money, but a lot of times them soldiers will spend it all before they figure out what they're gonna eat, and they'll call me up and wheel and deal with me, and as long as I'm making a little bit, I'll do it for them just to try to help them out, man. There's just them guys are over there and we're over here talking on a barbecue radio show and them guys are getting shot at and everything else over there, man. So
no, I completely agree with you, man. You're absolutely right. Absolutely. It's just the right thing to do, brother.
Yeah.
So
we're do what now?
I was gonna say, switching gears for a second. I know you Brad probably can't say, but have you filmed yet? Are you filming soon? For this season?
I will tell you that I'm getting a camera this week, so we're gonna do our hometown video. We will be filmed soon. I really, Chad, honestly, man, I talk to Tommy Houston a lot, and he keeps me sort of up to date on what's going on. I just, you know, I lost my mom in October.
Yep.
And man, I ain't right. You know, my mind just still ain't right from that, but the catering and my restaurant and the people coming in, I just really haven't really thought about Pitmasters as much as I did the first time that they called me, you know, when I was first on there because I was going crazy. But, man, right now it's just trying to keep up with everything. I know that we're going soon, and I sort of have an idea of the teams that are going to be competing this year. I know it's going to be just by listening to the teams and looking on Facebook, it's going to be a different playing field this year. It's not going to be two chefs from New York. You know, it's going to be a guy that competes every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely to us watching TV, it's going to be a little bit different because we're going to know who these guys are that are competing this year. So it's going to be pretty neat to watch that.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know when he's cooking or where, but I'd hold on to my hat. I think Rob Bagby, old Swamp Boys, I definitely think that old boy can win the whole thing, for sure.
Oh, man, come on now, Chad. Oh, Rob.
I had to give you a hard time.
Somebody told me that if Rob comes out of Florida, he's good as God, but you gotta get him when he's in Florida.
Oh!
No, he's a great guy, man. I actually went down and took I took their class down there in Florida, him and Dan's class, and just because I haven't cooked since
right.
forever, and I just wanted to just sort of get a refresh. So that was the first time I met him, and he is a pretty smart cook, pretty nice guy.
Excellent. Did you enjoy the class?
Yeah, it was nice, man. We had a lot of fun. We was right there on the lake, and it was a lot of information. So them guys, they definitely know what they're doing, so it's something to look into.
No, absolutely. That's good, man. I'm glad you got down there to do that. So you know, being busy with everything, you know, besides doing what you're doing with the Pitmasters, is the competition schedule going to be a little bit light this year?
You know, I want to try to get out more. I know I just sent in my application for Kings Mountain. I'm going to Kings Mountain, and I really haven't looked on a map and tried to plan out my schedule. The problem that I got with my competitions, man, is like I stay with my caterer in Fort Bragg. If I call these contests up a week before the cutoff is and see if they got any spots. I can't book a contest 2 or 3 months out in advance because I just might get a catering job. So, but I am lined up for Kings Mountain, and I want to go and do the ones in North Carolina. So, but like I said, with Pitmasters, there's a bunch of dates they throwed at you, and they pretty much tell you this is where you need to go and this is when you need to go. And so you can't really plan anything based on whether you win a round or not or whatever.
Right, exactly. Well, that is good, man. You know, obviously, we just finalized our schedule tentatively for the rest of the year, and I think we're gonna finish up about 17 or 18 contests. So it's gonna be fun. I think we're gonna go back out to the Royal. We're gonna do the World Food Championships. Gonna do Kate's $100,000 event at the end of October out in Laughlin. So I think it'll end up being a fun year for us.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're definitely gonna get out there more and just try to get our name out there as much as we can. Now that we're going back on the show, I just want to sort of get on out there some.
Well, absolutely. You want to do well and you want to be relevant, so when the show drops, it just has even more pop. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because man, it's a business, man, and you know I'm not Myron Mixon or whatever, but you know, I mean, I've got a family that I've got to try to support, and this is the only thing I know. So, man, you got to do everything you can do, man. So, because you can't force them people to come in that door, that's for sure.
No, you sure can't, and you got to give them something to keep bringing them in through the door. You know, that's the toughest part, and that's the key to it. You know, if you could go back now, Corey, somebody said you can hit the Control-Alt-Delete button. And you can just keep cooking out of the shack. What would you do, or are you happy as a pig that you open up the restaurant?
You know, Chad, I struggle with that every day. You know, and I don't know if it's because of the loss of my mom or whatever, but I just, you know, being on Pitmasters is fun, and it is a lot of fun, and it's a life changing experience. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know if it's just by the way we finished up on the show or what, but it's overwhelming sometimes, man. I mean, I try to go to the restaurant as much as I can every day, but man, it's just, I'm just slammed with people and they come up to me and everything, and which I love that to death, but it's just, sometimes it's hard to talk to all these people and everything. And, you know, I worked out of that shack and I was 2 or 3 hours and I was done, and then I catered and everything. And now it's just, you know, you got people that they'll complain and do everything, and it's not like it was, and it's better. And there's so many different things you've got to look at now that you're in a restaurant. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
just me and one other person when I was in that shack, man. And
yep.
Now when you're in that restaurant, it's a whole different world. You've got every employee we've got have pretty much been there since we opened the doors, and which is only about 10 people that I've got employed. But, you know, it's like a little family, and that's, I guess that's what keeps us going, is everybody there needs a job, and they want to make sure they do the best, you know. But I want to try to keep it small like that, because you start getting into these big restaurants and you got 40, 50 different employees, and that don't care, and it's just, it's not fun.
No. Because at the same time, I mean, it's your passion, and it's
right.
What you know, but you don't want to end up tying yourself down with so much responsibility that it becomes a true chore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. It's definitely different, man. You know, I go in there and I have guys cooking for me now, and I it's just hard to do that because I touched every single plate that
mm-hmm.
went out that shack, you know, and now I'm in there as much as I can, and I do a lot of quality control, but, man, there's sometimes that things happen and guys forget to do this, and, you know, and it's just, you just have to face that fact that it's not going to be the same as it was in that shack, you know, because
right.
we're doing so much more.
No, that's absolutely correct. Before I let you go, how's your dad doing? I know not long after you lost your mom, he wasn't doing too well. Is he on the road to recovery?
He stays up at my brother's house, man, up in Virginia in his motor home, and you know, he left right after my mom died, and it's almost like I'm missing both of them, you know, and
yeah.
'cause I don't see him like I should, but he's doing the best he can, man. My brother's watching after him and making sure everything. It's hard for him to come back and go to the house with my mom gone, but he's doing good, man. He's 80 years old now and just hangs out up there with my brother and stuff. So he asked me the other day. He said he was going to get his driver. He needed to go get his driver's license, but he didn't know how he was going to get down there because he wasn't allowed to drive. So, that's how he is, man. So we'll see. But he's doing good, man. He's just hanging in up there. I call him and let him know what's going on, but he's doing pretty good. But
awesome,
we'll
man.
See,
I'm,
man.
I'm glad to hear that, brother. Well, I'm going to wrap it up with you and let you get back to it, but we're going to wish you the best of luck filming your Pitmasters episode. If there's anything I can ever do for you, brother, you know, I'm just a phone call away. I appreciate you taking time to come.
Hey, Chad, I really appreciate it, brother.
All right, man. You take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Have a good one, man.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Corey Brenton, Fatbacks, Barbecue and Rib Shack. You know, Corey's a great guy. You know, talked to him numerous times. Got to meet him face-to-face when he was opening the place up or getting it ready. Just real big fan of his. Just real genuine fella. You know, out there, you know, trying to make an honest living, doing it through barbecue. So always good to have him on and see how life's treating him. All right, we've done it, guys. We have now gotten to the fifth interview of the night, and I am only 2 minutes behind. I would say it is probably one of the most well-choreographed five interview nights as we've ever done. So we're going to wrap it up right now. And bring in, I believe this is a 770, so I'm hoping it's Danny Kugel. Danny.
Hey, Chad, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How's it? Dude, we got a lot to catch up about, man. It's been a hectic couple of months for you, hasn't it, brother?
Oh, yeah, it's been awesome.
So, last time we had you on the show, we talked a little bit about the online cooking school, and I want to talk about that a little bit later, but I kind of want you to walk us through how this whole Hawaii thing came up, brother.
Well, you know, I got bored. And I got bored of the same street, the same mailbox, the same house, the same deal every day. And I was like, damn, you know, it's been damn almost 15 years. It's time for me to do something. You know, I lived in Miami. I lived all over Florida and all over the States. And I've been in Europe. I've been through the islands and it's time for me to make a change. And, you know, I brought that to my wife, and we and her, we had, you know, had to talk about it. And she was like, well, you can do that, but I'm staying here. And I said, well, if I go do this, something like this, we're going to have to, you know, make some changes. So we're best friends. Let me just say that. And we still love each other, but we're best friends. And we decided, you know, to just go ahead and get a divorce. And I called a friend of mine, and he said, hey, you know what? We got a restaurant down here. It's got no name. It's got no vision. It's got no nothing. We're opening it up. How about you come down here and open up a barbecue restaurant? So I flew down from L.A. I was doing something with the Travel Channel over there. And flew down here and spent a week, went around the whole island and discovered that there was one little itty-bitty shack of a barbecue restaurant on the other side of the island, about 4 hours from where I'm located.
Wow.
Other than that, there was no other Southern barbecue restaurants on the island. And I'm on the big island, not Honolulu, but the big island, Hawaii.
Right, yep.
And I looked at the location right on the main road, and it was great. And I said, okay, well, let's do this. So I talked to my wife about it, and she said, you know, if that's what's going to make you happy, then let's do that. She said, but you are crazy because you're going to liquidate. You're going to move someplace where you know nobody, got no resources, got nothing, and you're just jumping in this thing, head feet first, blind as a bat, starting your life over. And I said, yep, that's me, you know what I mean? So that's what I did. I just jumped into this thing feet first and started a new life. But I am going to be going back and forth to the mainland, and as soon as the restaurant gets up and running and whatnot, we're going to be putting together a trailer and some smokers and whatnot, and I've got my team, and next year I'll be back on the circuit for sure.
Oh, cool.
Can't guarantee you that this year I'll be back on the circuit, but next year I'll be back on the circuit, and I'll be flying over probably once a month, but my team will be competing weekly.
Cool.
So you'll be seeing pit bulls up at Smoke out there at contests like you used to the whole Southeast, from North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida. So we'll be out there slaying the giants again like we used to.
That's awesome, man. So you do miss the competition part pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, the restaurant is a vehicle to continue competing.
Absolutely.
I'm a competitor, and I love competing, and I love spreading the word and the life of competition barbecue. I know the whole. I mean, I'm like an ambassador for barbecue and competition barbecue. I mean, my whole vision for the restaurant was not to serve restaurant barbecue. Now, my partners, they were like, let's just, you know, show me what the difference. So I went in there and I did, you know, restaurant barbecue, cooked the ribs 5 hours at, you know, 225, and did the butts, you know, for 14 hours, and the brisket and the beef ribs. And they said, well, okay, well, this is pretty good. I said, well, I'll check this out. Then I went to our competition schedule and cooked everything like I would if I was cooking for judges.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew their minds.
Oh, yeah.
Their eyeballs opened up. They were speechless. And when I cooked, you know, we had about six or seven people over at the same time, and they were just completely floored and were like, they'd never eaten anything like that in their life when it came to barbecue. And I said, now that's what we're going to be cooking. We're going to be cooking competition barbecue, and that's what we're serving out of this kitchen. And exactly what I used to serve to the judges. And that was always my vision, to do something like that. That's to just open up a plain old barbecue restaurant. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, you don't want to be something run of the mill. If you're gonna put the time and the money and the effort into it, I mean, you got to look at it like anything else, man. It's got your name on it. You don't want to be, you know, out there half-assing something with your reputation attached to it, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's a little more expensive to do that.
Yeah.
Our profit margin is going to be a little lower. You figure 9 cents times 50 times a day, just 9 cents times 50 plates, nine cents, you know, at the end of the year, you know, you're looking at about $18,000. So, I mean, even with just 9 cents, something's costing you 9 cents. I mean, it's expensive, but, you know, I'm not going to have the big profit margin, but I'm going to have I'm going to try to serve the world's best barbecue, you know, in Hawaii.
That's going to be awesome. Have you found any issue with, you know, getting the size of brisket you want, getting the size butts you want, that type of thing over there?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Everything is an issue over here, okay? So, I don't know why, but somehow there's a company called Waihata, and they're awesome, okay? They're kind of like a Restaurant Depot.
Okay.
But you can't go in and just buy your stuff. You order it from them. And they are carrying believe it or not, IBP ribs, which I love IBP ribs.
Sure.
I love the whole IBP product line, period.
Yeah.
And, but they've got some kind of weird pork butt. And it's not consistent, and it doesn't cook up to temperature like it's supposed to, and it can go from 10 pounds to 5 pounds, or it can go from 10 pounds to 8 pounds. I mean, it's the, and I asked them about that, and they're like, look, this is what we got, this is what you're getting, because this is what everybody else orders. So I even threw it out there, well, suppose I was to go around to these different restaurants that are serving pork and educate them about pork and teach them about pork and teach them how to cook pork and get them ordering IBP, and they were like, it ain't happening. This is what we got, this is what you get, and that's how it's going to be. Now, brisket. There's like two different places on this island that actually serve brisket, and I think I'm one of them. And so brisket is one of those special order things, comes all the way from Honolulu. It comes from the mainland to Honolulu and from Honolulu to me. So I got the brisket. We got grass-fed beef over here, but
yep.
That grass-fed beef is it's different.
Well, I miss the flavor on it, man. I mean, I know some guys that cook with it, but man, it just doesn't get that same flavor to me as a good grain fed. You know, maybe there's something you got to do with changing your cook schedule or whatever to get that to render out and taste as beefy as a grain fed brisket.
Yeah, I you know, and the next thing too. I mean, we're talking about a brisket here. I mean, I can cook a brisket and make it, you know, mouth watering and melt in your mouth with a nice snap, regardless of what it is. So, And another thing good about grain-fed brisket is that when you buy a 10-pound brisket or up, you know, 15-pound brisket, it's not going to render that much fat, so you're really getting your money's worth.
Right, exactly. So,
to answer your question, yeah, you know, everything was a challenge at first, but I was able to dial everything in, so I've got my supplies and I got my stuff. I don't have peach wood. We're using, other kinds of wood over here, but it's good.
How are you doing with the menu? Is it going to be are you trying to keep it pretty small, or is it going to be pretty expansive? What's kind of your strategy there?
It's going to be a simple, straightforward Southern barbecue restaurant. In other words, you're going to get beef ribs, pork ribs, brisket, and chicken, and pulled pork, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get mac and cheese, mac salad, because Hawaiians love mac salad, and coleslaw and white rice, and we'll do the briskets and everything the way how you do them, and it's gonna be a straightforward, simple menu. Our starters will have jalapenos that are got some cream cheese and some sausage wrapped in bacon, a little bit of barbecue sauce on top. We'll do those. We'll do a stuffed bell pepper with some rice and your choice of three different meats inside of that, with some barbecue sauce and topped with some pepper jack. Just throw that right in the smoke at 350, 15 minutes later,
that's beautiful.
Out.
Yep.
And your usual standbys, the stuff that you use, your leftovers on, kind of like your quesadillas. You can get a pork quesadilla, chicken, beef, whatever. Four or five starters, your basic three, four meat category, and your sides, and salad big over here. Everything's organic. In fact, even when it comes to smoking, everybody's into organic. Like I'm smoking, I switched over to a product called American Spirit. It's 100% organic tobacco. You roll it yourself. No additives, no nothing. You know what I mean? So we keep an organic salad that you can top with the three, the four meat categories. And that's pretty much how I've got to keep it simple.
No, that's really awesome. And I did see where you brought one of those, you got one of those deep south smokers over there, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. The first thing that came to my mind was I'm on an island where, it's kind of like the frontier over here, I would say. So it's really a beautiful place and everything, but you don't want to have a smoker that has a lot of working parts in it.
Right.
Don't need a smoker with chains and bells and whistles and pulleys and whatever, motors and whatnot. So my first thing was gravity fed. And when I needed gravity fed, I thought about lump coal. I found lump coal that's made here. And so we got a grab two is great big 8 foot, you know, by 6 foot tall smoker. It's basically a dual chamber, so you got like 4 foot on one side, 4 foot on the other, so I can cook 350 on one side and 225 whatever I want on the other side.
That's pretty damn cool, especially when you were talking about, you know, how you're going to cook your appetizers and then how you're going to cook, you know, obviously your main meats. That gives you the flexibility you need.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, we ran a practice run on it, and I'm buying this charcoal in 40-pound bags, and we filled up the chute on that smoker, both chutes, and filled them up and lit them, and they went 3 days.
Jeez.
So cooking at 300. You know, with my gurus on there and my bull fans. I mean, they both shoots, both sides cooked 3 days straight, nonstop, and finally ran out of charcoal. And then it held its temperature for the rest of the day on the third day. So it was pretty good. I mean, you can't beat that. And you know, 40 pounds is costing me just under $20. So that's not bad for fuel.
No, heck no, not at all. What kind of woods, native woods over there, can you use?
Well, they have a tree here called Ohia, which is kind of sweet. It puts off a kind of a darker smoke, so it's
mm-hmm.
a little oilier. And then you have another tree that's basically mesquite. It is mesquite. They call it Ohia in Kiavi. They call it Kiavi, and it is mesquite, and it grows all over the other side of the island. And you can buy that by the cord. And so the smoker, you know, you don't get it. You know, no matter what kind of wood you put in there or how much you put in there, I've noticed you don't get a really strong smoke flavor. You get a light kiss of smoke. You get your little quarter-inch smoke ring. It tastes great. I was kind of concerned with using that mesquite, but you know what? It comes out nice. It's got great flavor. It's not bitter. It's pretty sweet, and it tastes good.
That's pretty awesome. That's got to be kind of a unique situation to be in, where you're taking kind of a foreign wood and kind of having to tweak to find out how to cook with it to give you the final product you want. But that's neat.
Oh yeah, this has been an education. I'll tell you something. There's nothing like jumping into something completely blind, with absolutely no clue, not knowing which way is east, west, up or down, and making something, willing something into existence the way I've done. I'll be honest with you. It's been a trip, I'll tell you what. And, you know, and I'm still trying other woods, you know. I'm gonna try some mango wood. I'm going to try some. I'm trying to get that sweet, you know, sweet flavor that I used to get with my peach. And I'm trying different nut woods that are over here so I can come up with something that's close to pecan.
Yeah,
I want to get back. I know I love pecan, and there's nothing like walking by your smoker and smelling that peach or that pecan, you know, rolling out of that thing. I mean, it just gives you warm and cozy. You know what I mean? It's like a slow cooked pot roast. You know, it's feel good smoke. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. Some of the guys in chat are asking, how about pineapple wood?
Well, you know, pineapple's actually kind of like a little shrub.
Yeah.
It's like a little plant. It's kind of like a, you know, for lack of a better term, think of it like a fern with a pineapple sticking out of it.
Yeah.
So pineapple, there really isn't any wood to the pineapple. I mean, there's like a little stalk or tree thing there. I guess I could try that. You know, that's a good idea. The only problem is supply and demand, and I don't
right.
know if I would have the supply for that. So, you know, whatever I start with is what I want to end with. And, you know, I need to produce a high-quality product, but it needs to be consistent.
Yep.
So, when Chad, when you come into my restaurant on Monday and you have, say, lunch, and you come back a week later and you have dinner, you know what to expect because you've had it. And, you know, the flavor is going to be there. The sauce is going to be the same. The flavor is going to be the same as far as the smoke goes. You know, that's one of the secrets to success when it comes to cooking is, you know, you need to have some consistency in your base, you know, base things like that. With a barbecue restaurant, it's smoke and, you know, your sauce.
No, absolutely. One of the questions in chat, I think you've already covered this, is, I mean, this is going to be straight Southern barbecue, right? This isn't going to be Hawaiian fusion barbecue. This is going to be, you know, Danny Kugel, Pit Bulls Up in Smoke. you know, Southern style barbecue, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, you know, you if you Google barbecue restaurants on the island, you're going to get a this one barbecue, a that one barbecue, but they're not, they're either Chinese, Japanese, or Korean, or some kind of other thing.
Yep.
And when you go in there, you're basically walking into a Japanese or Chinese or whatever kind of restaurant. And you get the same, you know, if you went to a Chinese restaurant in Georgia and you ordered, you know, ribs, that's what you're going to get.
Right.
When you walk into my restaurant in Hawaii, it's going to be like walking into Georgia, into a restaurant in Georgia. I mean, you want to go, you don't even have to fly to the mainland. You don't have to sit on a plane for 9 hours to hit the South. When you walk into my restaurant, there's going to be country music on. There's going to be a country, there's a country theme inside the restaurant. It's going to be country. I mean, 100% country. I'm a Southern son, and we're going to keep it that way. We're going to stay true to our roots. Now, if you want to eat, you know, a pineapple glazed, coconut crusted, you know, what have you, there's a million and one restaurants that serve that here. But if you want to eat Southern barbecue, you just come to my restaurant because that's what you're going to get there, and you can expect to get that there.
That is awesome, and I think that's the right approach. Talk to us a little bit. You talked about the decor. Talk to us a little bit about how many seats do you have, that kind of stuff.
Well, right now we've got 30 tables. I can't tell you how many seats because that's not in my purview. My partner is in charge of front of the house. But we've got about 30 tables. I don't know. We're going to do lunch and dinner only. And absolutely, we're open on Sunday. And, the decor. I mean, I've got a couple of sets of bullhorns hanging on the wall, and I was only able to pack up X amount of trophies. I mean, I was only able to box up like 4 boxes of trophies and stack to the brim and bring them over. I had to leave. I don't know. I must have left about 30 trophies back at the house, but I bought the best, the nicest, the prettiest, and, you know, the coolest ones and the ones that I remember that, you know, I had memories with, because not all the trophies I really had memories. I would just go to work, collect my check, and get home.
Yeah.
So many trophies, I remember winning them, and I remember the experience and the after party and the whole nine yards. So we're going to be decorating the whole interior with those and, that kind of thing.
What are you guys looking for as far as the open date?
Well, we wanted to be open a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, we couldn't rush the building or the shipping of the smoker, so that had to take its time, and it needed to be done right, and it was all done right, and it showed up when it should have showed up, and everything went smoothly there. And then was, you know, what hit was, you know, obviously, I've been cast for Barbecue Pitmasters this year.
Oh, cool.
So, and I'm having to fly to the mainland here next week.
Okay.
So we decided that it would be best to open when I get back instead of opening before. We could open tomorrow. The thing is that it wouldn't be good for me to open and then leave on my first weekend. You know what I mean?
Yep. No. I totally agree with you.
I've got a really good sous chef that's going to manage one side of the kitchen, and I'm on the other side of the table on the other side with that. I'm going to train him to do my job, bring somebody else in to go on his side of the thing, and stay in the kitchen with them both and train them and work with them and get them finely tuned and running right, you know, pick up my equipment that I need up in Georgia and get myself dialed in. And I'm thinking maybe I'll make a quick little, appearance towards the end of the year once or twice, but really I'm gonna hit the trail hot and heavy and hard like the pit bull is used to doing. I'm going to be back in black in HD next year for sure.
I like that, man. It sounds like you couldn't be happier, brother. You sound excited.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you a funny story. This weekend I went to the north end of the island where they filmed Jurassic Park. You know, when the helicopter's coming in and you have the waterfalls coming down the cliffs and the whole nine yards. I drove out there with a friend and we were staying with his family and my truck broke down. So I had the whole freaking weekend out there with that thing. And just as I was getting ready to leave, we got the part, got it in, bam, the truck was running. And it was a great weekend, and I went to church on Sunday, and the church was one of these churches that have been around since the days of Captain Cook. You know what I mean? It's like this really old wooden building that's basically a big big box that's tall, and you take your shoes off at the door to walk in Hawaiian style, and you go through the whole church thing. You sit in these old pews that are 100-something years old, and I mean, even that was like being on vacation. I mean, it was like stepping back into time, and I don't know. I mean, every day here is amazing. You know, every time I turn around, there's something new, something big, something great,
yeah.
some awesomeness. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. Are you near the beach?
Yeah, I'm about about 5 minutes from the beach.
That's awesome. That is
I'm in Pahoa, so I mean I'm right. In fact, you know, a couple weekends before that, we did a catering job down on the bay for a big. It's called the Hawaiian Roundup. It's a big Hawaiian thing that they did, and you know, a couple hundred people there. And the whole weekend, I got there on Friday. And stayed there the whole weekend, camped out, and a big whale came in and gave birth to a baby whale. And you could see her, I mean, 50 yards from us, you know, right there at the
cliff.
Wow. And she was teaching them how to float and whatnot. And then before you know it, she started breaching, and he was breaching. And they sat right in the same spot, I swear to God, all weekend, just chilling and, you know, whale flapping and doing all kinds, you know, what whales do, doing the whale.
Oh, thing, yeah.
I mean.
Yep. That is a pretty awesome sight. Are you the only guy on the island with a cowboy hat and boots, Danny?
Actually, one of the largest ranches in the United States is here on Hawaii. And when I say the United States, of course, Hawaii is part of the United States. So one of the largest ranches, actually, working ranches, is here in Hawaii, and it's free range. And they've got some, what do you call them, cowboys over there that are, you know, that date back to the Portuguese. So they,
wow.
They call them Portigo cowboys. And so they got the Portuguese cowboys on that side of the island. And that side of the island, that area of the island, actually is kind of like Texas, South Texas. It's pretty, you know, it's sparse. You start going north, you get into some rainy stuff, and it's kind of like the highlands in Ireland. But you know, there's so many different zones here and atmospheres here and whatnot. I mean, you an hour in your truck and you're hitting Texas, and in another 2 hours you're between the waterfalls and caves, and another hour you're on top of the, you know, the world in the mist, you know, whatever you want.
That's just beautiful. You know what I'm saying? That sounds like, I mean, just really a great opportunity, and we're definitely pulling for you. My last question before I let you go is, are you worried at all about going into Pitmasters, not having cooked really any quote unquote contests this year?
Absolutely not, buddy. I've been called probably the hardest working man in barbecue, and that's because when I was at home, I would cook chicken from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep, and I do that for months.
Yep.
Dialing stuff in. If I don't know how to cook damn competition barbecue, there's something wrong. I do it in my sleep. I think about it. I write about it. I've been writing, you know, diagrams, and you know, I've been on the phone with students. I've had students call me at contests and turn around and they take first place brisket or second place ribs or whatever because they call me at the contest. Now, I remember at 3 o'clock in the morning there, it's only 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock here.
Right, right.
So
it actually works out.
So when you're dialing in your stuff at a contest and you're a student, you call me and you go, Danny, what do I do here? What do I do with this? Or, you know, I've got a brisket and my guys have picked it up, but it's just a, you know, just a flat. How do I cook that? And I go through the whole thing with that. And then they turn around and they take first place brisket. You know, that makes me feel good. They call me. They post it on Facebook, you know.
Hell yeah, that's awesome. So you still seeing the, you know, we've been fortunate to really kind of to have a good beginning of the year, you know, and I think a lot of it that's helped us turn the corner is your class. Are you still seeing a lot of guys picking up on that and making use of it?
Oh God, yes. I think over the past month, I mean, we've probably sold 10 of them.
That's great. That is great.
My wife's taking care of that. You know, she's handling the, you know, the whole, you know, world headquarters, Pitbull's up in Smoking, Georgia. And so she's taking care of filling orders for the rubs, and she's taking care of, you know, making sure that the site for the school is maintained and Then you hear everything, pit bulls up in smoke, injectors, the whole nine yards, and maintaining all of that. Like I said, you know, we're still best friends. It's just that, our lives just had to go in two different directions, and I can't just exist. I have to live. I can't just get up every day and go punch a clock and go, okay, now I'm going home, and I'm going to watch Oprah, and I'm going to eat dinner, and I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to brush my teeth, and I'm going to put on my pants, and I'm going to do the same shit the next day. And I can't, I'm not wired that way.
Right, exactly.
So I have to live, and I got to a point in my life where I wasn't living, and I was suffering because I was suffering internally from it, I was suffering externally from it. I just needed to get out. I needed to do something bold. I needed to do something crazy. I needed to do something that was going to, put my mettle to the test, and, it was time to do that, and so that's what I decided to do.
Well, I think you've done a pretty good job with it, brother. So we're going to wish you all the best, man. Good luck. I know you won't need it. I know you're going to go cook your pants off for Pitmasters in a couple of weeks. And we wish you all the best of luck, and we'll check in with you soon, Danny. And good luck in everything, man. I hope this restaurant really takes off, and I know it will, and I think it's great that you're going to be bringing some real authentic American barbecue, Southern American barbecue to Hawaii. That's killer, man. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. All right, guys. Danny Kugel, Pitbull's up in smoke. Always great to have him on the show. Good guy. Man, what he's doing, that's pretty kick-ass. I know he's having a blast doing it. You can hear the excitement in his voice. We'll be back with you next Tuesday night. I think we already got three guests lined up in the queue. Till next week, keep the pit lit.
Let her go, Chadwick. Turn up your radio. Build a whiskey and drink it down slow. It's Whiskey Bent in the pit. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't shit outlaw barbecue show. He's an all-night smoker, a cold beer holder. His spare ribs will blow your mind. And with his Cosmos Q and his Green Mountain grills, he'll walk the stage every time. Turn on your radio, crack a beer, Chad's ready to go. It's Whiskey Ben in the pit all night, late night. If you don't listen, boy, you ain't right. Outlaw Barbecue Show. Whiskey Ben in the pit radio show. Good for the eggs, shakes, and seconds. Can I get a raise? Hell, come on. Woo.